sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. This is Messages on Demand. Well, welcome to today's program. You know, a lady by the name of A. Catherine Hanke, who lived from 1834 to 1911, wrote the words to a song that was published in many church hymnals over the years. The chorus of that song goes like this. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. Well, today I want to talk about stories. You know, the word story is in the Bible two times. And the English word that's translated from the Hebrew word midrash, which means a treatise or elaborate compilation. Here's an example of where the words are at in 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 22. And the rest of the acts of Abijah and his ways and his sayings are written in the story of the prophet Iddo. Now, Iddo was a prophet and a seer who recorded the events of Solomon's reign concerning Jeroboam, son of Nebat, in the book of Visions, 2 Chronicles 9:29. Rehoboam's acts and his genealogical records, verse chapter 12:15, and Abijah's life as a part of commentary in 13:22. Then, referring to King Joash and the priest of Jehoiada, in 2 Chronicles 24:27, it says, Now concerning his sons, and the greatness of the burdens laid upon him, and the repairing of the house of God, behold, they are written in the story of the book of Kings, and Amaziah his son reigned in his stead. You know, some of the books of the Old Testament are stories of a particular individual. For example, the book of Job, possibly one of the earliest books written that's recorded in the Old Testament. And the book of Job, we hear the story of a man who was tempted of Satan. And as you read that story, you will find how Satan came before God and God asked him, have you beheld my servant Job? And Satan says to God, well, if you'll just take down your hedge that you have around him and let me at him for a while, he'll change his tune. He won't worship you. He won't bless you as much as he has. He'll turn against you. In fact, I'll make him curse you. Well, long story short here, God told Satan, do whatever you want, just don't take his life. So here we have the story of a man named Job who had everything. Then he lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his wealth. He lost his possessions. In fact, at one point, his wife even spoke to him and said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Give up, Job. It's over with. But Job was faithful. He stood faithful during the entire time. And Job had friends, like many of us do. And these friends came over, I suppose, really trying to be helpful and trying to console Job a little bit. And they told him, Job, you know, what have you done wrong? Have you ever had that happen to you? Have you ever done something or had something happen to you? And the person came up to you and asked you what you did wrong? I know what it feels like. When I was a young man, I was involved in a minor automobile accident. And unfortunately, two of them in a few days period. And one of the young men in the church came up to me, and the first thing he said to me was, well, what have you done wrong? Well, really, I hadn't done anything wrong. One was totally not my fault. And the other was just, well, one of those things that happened. But here's Job, all of this going on. He had been faithful to God. He'd stood true to God. He had blessed God. He had done everything that God wanted him to do. And yet, these things happened to him. He had everything taken away from him. He had his life almost taken from him. And everything's going wrong. His wife's turned even against him. But he stood faithful. And then we find in the very end that Job was restored. Job was restored more than twofold as to how God blessed him. So God brought restoration. And this is the story of Job. Then, of course, there is the story of Esther. And Esther is the story of a young woman who was a descendant of the Jews who were brought to Babylon as captives. And eventually, as a young woman, she becomes queen of Babylon. That's quite a transformation here. You're a captive, you're a servant, basically. And then one day, you're the queen. And she's think, kind of wondering maybe, how did I get here? What brought me to this place? But her uncle, a man by the name of Mordecai, said to her in Esther chapter 4, verse 14, "And who knowest whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Because, you see, there was great turmoil about to happen in the kingdom. A man by the name of Haman had plotted to have all those who were Jews killed. He wanted to rid the country of the Jews, not unlike some other people that have lived, some even in recent years that have lived that have wanted to see the Jews destroyed. Some that are living today that want to see the Jews destroyed. And he's plotting. He's almost got the king convinced of it. But yet Esther, her story is God has put her in a place where she can go before the king and she will be able to save the lives of her people. Think about it. What a story. It's really a rags-to-riches story. You might even call it a Cinderella-type story. A servant girl who suddenly becomes queen of the empire, the most powerful empire on the planet in its day. And here she is. God has given her a story to tell. Everyone has a story. You have a story. I have a story. But yet, each of our stories are different. There may be similarities in some ways. We may have things in our lives that are very similar. And yet, we may have things in our lives that are very different. Each one of us are different individuals. Each one of us are completely different in many ways. Some of you have a story of the misfortunes of your life. Some of you may have grown up in poverty. Some of you may have grown up oppressed. Some of you who listen to us in other parts of the world can't even imagine the life that some people describe today and talk about. You've not had those benefits, those availabilities. So some of you have a story of being poor, being hungry, being homeless. Many other things. Some of you have a story of being drug addicted. Some of you have a story of being abandoned as a child. Others similar type stories, yet all somewhat different. Then there are others who have had a blessed life. They have had a life like none of the rest of us have had. And they've had what they might call the benefits of life. Maybe they've had the niceties, the good things, the things that make us all different, that bring blessings into their life, you know, maybe finances, maybe good education, a loving home, many other things that people could talk about that would make a blessed life. But no two of us are alike. As I mentioned earlier, no two of us are alike. Some of our stories do contain common elements, but we're still not alike. And it doesn't matter if you were born rich or poor. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter where you were born. All that matters is the fact that you have a story to tell. You see, there are some things, though, that we do have in common ground. Number one, we were all born in sin. Think about that. We were all born in sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All have sinned. That means me. That means you. Let me tell you a little of my story, because I was born into a Christian home. My parents were Christians. My parents went to church. I had some of the blessings in life that many of you listening to me may not have had in that area. But yet I was still a sinner. I was born in sin. Another thing that we all have in common is that we will all die. Some earlier than others. There are some people who are born and only live a few moments. And there are some who are born and they live to a ripe old age, maybe in their 90s, some even into the hundreds. And so they live, or you have a great variety of lifespan here. But irregardless, we will all die. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." We will all die. And I want you to think about something as we continue on in the message today. About that fact, that appointment that we have. We all have an appointment that we are not going to get out of. We will all die. The question, of course, in every life is when. And none of us know that. None of us know that. I know in my life I have faced death on a couple of occasions. But thanks to prayer and God's healing power and the mercies that God showed my life, I'm still here. And I'm still able to talk to you, and I'm still able to work for the Lord, but there is a day that's going to come, unless the rapture takes place, that I am going to die. So there are two things that we all have in common. Again, it doesn't matter if you were born into a poor family a middle-class family, a wealthy family. It doesn't matter if you were born into a black family, a brown family, a yellow family, a white family. It doesn't matter the color of the skin. It doesn't matter what part of the world you were born in. The thing is, we were all born in sin, and we are all going to die. Then the third thing that we have in common is that we will all stand before the judgment seat. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, be it good or bad." So we're going to stand before judgment. Those who are Christians are going to stand before judgment for the rewards, for the work that they've done for God. And those that have never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior are going to stand before the judgment seat of God, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes. And it's going to be a totally different type of judgment. And like my friend, I want you to know today, you don't want to be at that second judgment seat. So we can't choose the story of our birth or the circumstance of our birth. We can't choose that. We have nothing to do with that. But we can make choices in our life which make our story. Your story is comprised of the choices that you make. Our story is comprised of what we do. Our story is comprised in some way even of how people see us. But we can also make a choice as to which way our story will end. You see, we have the power to choose how our story ends, which path our story goes down. Because our story will either end with eternal life or eternal damnation, eternal death. Those are the only two choices to the end of our story. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give," here's the words now, "that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Think about that a moment. Life eternal, and life eternal only comes through Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, we read about the other option here, because it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The wages of sin. Remember, I told you back at the beginning of the message that we were all born in sin, and the wages of sin is death, eternal death. But the gift of God through Jesus Christ is eternal life. I want you to think about that a minute. Eternal life through Jesus Christ. Those are the two options that our story has. That's how our story is going to come to an end. One of those two options is going to transpire. One of those two options is going to take place. And it's your choice as to which one of those options happen. Here's what we were talking about a few moments ago when I was talking about those judgments. I mentioned the judgment of those who will stand before God that are Christians, that have eternal life, and they will be judged for the works that they have done here on earth. But here in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, it talks about a last and final judgment. There is no more after this. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great. Remember, we're talking about your story. You don't have the option as to where you came from or how you came into this world. You didn't have the option of whether you were born rich or poor, black or white, red, yellow or brown. You didn't have those choices. You didn't have choices whether you came from a peasant type status or that of a regal status. You didn't have any choices in that. But all of them, no matter how you were born, will stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now I want to stop here a moment. Those who have eternal life, they're not standing in this judgment. They're not standing here to see what the judgment is going to be. They're not participating in this. This judgment is for those that do not have eternal life. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. What do you say, second death here? I already died once. Well, let me talk about that a second. When this physical body dies, our spirit goes on. And if we're a Christian, we go on into the presence of God. And if we are not a Christian, we go on into a life of eternal separation from God. You see, the death that we're talking about is the physical death that we have here. But there is going to be a death and eternal separation from God where there is no hope. And it says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. They were cast into the lake of fire. No more hope. Once this physical body dies and is buried, there is no hope if you have not accepted Jesus Christ already. You're lost eternally. Well, all stories have an end. The question is, how do you want your story to end? How do you want your story to end? Well, briefly, let me tell you, if you have already accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I can tell you how your story is going to end. Your story is going to end that there's going to come a time when you are in the eternal presence of Jesus Christ, in the eternal presence of God the Father for all eternity, enjoying all the blessings that God has for you. But if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then You're in a sad situation. You're in a time where there is no hope. You're in a time when you're lost forever if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And my friend, today I want to ask you, if you're listening to me, wherever you may be, here in America or somewhere else in the world today, and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, now is the time. In fact, the Bible tells us today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You see, I told you a while ago, you can write the end of your story. You can accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You can live for God and your name be written in that Lamb's Book of Life, and your story is going to end in the gates of heaven, where you will walk the streets of gold, where you will be with God the Father, Jesus the Son, for eternity. That's how your life can go. That's how your story can come to an end. Or, if you choose not to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will stand before that judgment seat that I just read about. And it's going to be a sad day, because you will be eternally separated from God, and there will be no hope. I want you to listen to those words again. No hope. No way out. No escape. Because there is no hope. Today I ask you, if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, won't you do so today? It's very simple. Just ask Him to come into your heart. Say, Jesus, I want You in my life. I want to accept what You did for me on the cross of Calvary. I want You to cleanse me of my sin. I want to accept You as my personal Savior. I want to be part of Your kingdom. Come into my heart. Come into my life today. I repent. I turn away from my sin. I walk away from it. I want no more part of it. I want to change my story. I want to change my destination. And if you do that, He'll come into your heart. And there'll be a new chapter in your story. A chapter that will end in rejoicing. And if you've done that and you want to find out more about Jesus Christ, you can visit our website. There's a page on there called Salvation. Go to that page and you can read some verses about salvation. You can find out more about being a Christian if you visit that page on our website. Or if you have questions, you can always email us through the contact page on our website. Let's pray. Father, today, I thank You for Your blessings. And I thank You, Father, for those that have come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Father, I believe today that someone who's listened to this message is going to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Father, I don't know if it's one or if it's many, but Father, someone, and they have rewritten the end of their story by doing so. I thank You, Father, for what You're going to do, and I pray Your blessings upon them, Father. In the name of Jesus, I ask it. Amen and amen.